The Corded Books presents an unabridged recording of The Reckoning, a Strange Angels novel, by Lily St. Crow, narrated by Elisa Bresnahan and directed by Jennifer O'Donnell. And now, The Reckoning.
Chapter 1. Stealing a car was easy. The hard part was putting up with the whining. "I can't believe we're doing this," Graves muttered for the 50th time. I kept the speed steady, and even 55. It was an older red Subaru sedan, and I'd checked for insurance papers before we'd taken it. Someone would be inconvenienced, but not completely out of luck. When you're running from the king of the vampires, you can't afford to be too choosy. But I was glad I'd been able to avoid being a complete douche. "Well, if you'd like to hike out there on foot, be my guest." I didn't reach for the volume knob to drown him out, but it was close. Little Richard wailed softly from the speakers, robbed of all his sass. The all-wheel drive would be nice when we started to hit the hills. "Or if you want to be caught without wheels when the vampires find us." When, not if, because they're going to. After all, I'd stabbed the closest thing they had to a king through the heart and escaped. You don't have to be a genius to figure out that will piss a monster off. It was a partly sunny, late spring mid-afternoon, and we were on the freeway. I actually missed the food back at the Scola Prima. At least it had been pretty fresh, and there'd been plenty of it, brought up on a tray each evening as the Scola woke and the Jamfir started getting ready for another night of fun and games, learning to hunt suckers. I would groan at having to get up. Blue-eyed Natalie would laugh, and the night would start with breakfast and a hot shower while she set my mother's room to rights. And I would secretly feel glad not to be alone. Now I just felt empty and nauseated. Plus my head hurt, and even though I was exhausted, I hadn't been able to sleep for more than a few broken hours. I'd been too busy jerking into wakefulness every time the cheap hotel room creaked, or a car backfired, or the boy's breathing changed. It didn't help that the motel had paper-thin walls, either. But options are sometimes limited when you're running for your life. Ash lay curled up in the back seat. He'd been asleep since we hit the city limits, snuggled up like he didn't have a care in the world. I'd managed to get him mostly cleaned up, but he was still barefoot and greasy-haired. He'd put away even more food than Graves this morning, and that was saying something. We'd spent 70...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?